Ladies and gentlemen, if you are interested in being a part of this informational session on the process that we use to select a new minister, come on in. If you're thinking maybe you'll just have some coffee, then you're welcome to stay back there in the social hall. But we're going to go ahead and get started now. Yeah, thanks. So if you haven't been here for the first service, then we have a treat for you today. Nancy Bowen, who's the regional lead for congregational life for the entire Pacific Western region, is here with us today to help us work through and understand the search process that we'll be using. We're going to be starting our search pretty soon. We'll be selecting a committee in the next couple months, and so we're going to explain the entire process from start to finish to you today, and then we'll have some time to take questions afterwards, okay? So, John, can we go ahead and get the PowerPoint up and advance to slide one? Okay. Okay, and take me forward one slide. Yes, please. All right. And I hope you're all able to read that. If you aren't, look for it on the leadership blog in the next 24 hours or so. We'll get it up there, okay? So to go back in time a little bit, we'll all recall that Mark Salkin announced his retirement about October of 2013. In April of 2014, the transition interview was conducted with Nancy and the various members of the board, the Committee on Ministry, and other key leaders in the church. During that time, we discussed the process, established that we would follow a two-year interim period plan, as is typical, and then we initiated an interim search, which concluded with the hiring of David Keyes as our interim minister in May, and he began his ministry here in August. This week, we had a meeting again with the board, with the transition team, and also with the nominating committee, whose responsibility it is to form the search committee, during which we discussed the search process that we'll be following. That was in preparation for this meeting, and also just to establish what the search process would look like. The next step is going to be an appreciative inquiry process. And appreciative inquiry is a tool that we use to discover what's really working in our congregations so that we can grow with that and look forward to accelerate forward. Nancy, can you give me a less awkward description of appreciative inquiry? Because I think you probably could describe it a little better than I can.
Well, I think appreciative inquiry you can think of as an opportunity for everyone who's interested in any part of the process to participate and to share their perspectives and bring their gifts to the process of better understanding the congregation so that the search committee, the selection of the search committee is informed, and the search committee, as they begin their work, are also informed about it's kind of like a pulse of the congregation. What you're all thinking about at the end of 1 year of interim and moving into the search.
Yeah.
Very participatory.
So the thing to remember here is that choosing a minister is in some ways an act of self-identifying as a congregation. We're going to discover who we are now and who we're becoming, and using that knowledge, we're going to select the right minister for this congregation at this time. And that's what this search process is about. And that's what appreciative inquiry is designed to kick off, that process of self-discovery, okay? In February, we'll begin a process of calling every member household in the church to solicit ideas for who would be valued, trusted members of our community to serve on the search committee. And then all of that input will go to the nominating committee. They will they will sift it, they will weigh it, they will try to come up with a committee that represents the diversity of our congregation, and they will bring forward a slate of 7 candidates for the search committee in March for the congregation to consider and elect. There will be a congregational meeting at that time during which the election will take place. And, sorry, John, I got a little ahead of you. Can you advance me one slide again? Advance another slide, please. Other way. There you go. Okay, so yeah, as I just said, January, we're beginning our appreciative inquiry process. February, we're calling every member of the congregation. And then in March, we will select our search committee. Search committee will be working on this for the next year or so, as Nancy says. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to turn it over to Nancy to describe the work of the search committee, because she knows this a lot better than I do, having helped a lot of congregations through it. Nancy?
Sure. So serving on a search committee is some of the most rewarding work that people reflect upon doing in their tenure as members of our congregation, and it is seriously rigorous. So when you're thinking about who you want to be on this search committee, you might also think about how you can support them in that service. Seriously rigorous commitment. And we offer them as much support as they need and want. So they do a retreat to start team building, this won't surprise you, and to more fully understand the process, much more fully than we'll be able to do even today, but we walk them through all of that. So the search committee is responsible for establishing your materials, which are then posted on the UUA website, which is how you tell all the ministers in the country that you are interested in a new senior minister. And this is how we know ourselves and the skills and demeanor and personality of the minister we seek. So all of this happens through online communications and postings and things like that, and your search committee is responsible for all of that. They'll do a number of engagements with the congregation in order to know those things. But some of what you're posting is data. It's culling the archives to find out what your membership was 5 years ago and 3 years ago and what was your budget. And so a lot of it is data that you're also sharing. But the identification of the general trajectory of your ministry will be discovered in community. And the search committee will communicate that. Following that, the board... Can I have the next slide, please? So this is just... Rich has told you that you'll be able to find this on your Foothills website. So there's a list there of the many things the search committee does. And even that one's not quite exhaustive. But the board will then appoint a negotiating team responsible for taking care of kind of the legal pieces of developing a letter of agreement, looking at compensation, how that's done and negotiated and communicated with potential ministers. Yes.
Is that separate from the search committee or a subset of the search committee?
Typically, it's appointed by the board with, and there's not a specified formula, but what I've seen most often is a board member, somebody who has experience in this area of understanding how a community is best able to communicate its covenants through whatever its financial arrangements are, recognizing that some of this depends upon how your next minister chooses to take compensation, because we have housing allowances and various things, and people at different points in their life want to put more in pension or less, and those kinds of things. So a board appointment, typically a board member, somebody with experience on this, and sometimes someone from the search committee or someone from somewhere else in the congregational life. It's not strictly a subcommittee of the search committee. It's outside folks on it. So then we'll do a workshop called Beyond Categorical Thinking in the fall. The search committee will kind of coalesce all this information, which is a huge amount of information in the appreciative inquiry process, a congregational survey, the data research that they do. All of that has to kind of come together and become able to be communicated coherently to people who don't know you and can't read between the lines necessarily. So this is a lot of excellent communication. There's a lot of wordsmithing. There's a lot of figuring out what are the new ideas we're hearing in the appreciative inquiry, how would we communicate those in order to indicate where we're headed. It will be clearer where we've been. It's always harder to project the future. And so that body of material needs to be completed sometime in September. These don't have a particular due date in September, but in order to consider an internal candidate, Gretchen Haley, as your senior minister, to allow the opportunity for that to happen, all these materials have to be finished before your search committee speaks to her. Okay? Because we want to be confident, I want you to be confident, I want to be confident too, but it's far more important that you are confident, that decision was not made with any kind of expedience, that it was not made based on love and personality, that it was made based on the minister you all think you need moving forward in your ministry and mission. And any minister you select needs to know that. Less than that is a setup. It's just a setup. And so we wouldn't want to do that to anybody we love and respect. Okay, so this is a complex part of our process, and we want to be sure you understand it, and yet there will be lots of questions that unfold over time. Okay, Gretchen is completely out of this loop until sometime in September. She won't have anything to do with the search committee. She, I trust, will not say what her interest is. Frankly, I think she doesn't really know yet. She's in discernment, as is appropriate for her position. So there are several things that can happen here. That's why it's a little complex to work through. So if Gretchen is interested and the search committee is interested, we must have willing partners in this process, then she will engage with the search committee using all the materials you would use for anyone you were seeking to hire. And if the search committee recommends her to the congregation as the next senior minister, you would have a congregational vote. She would have to receive a huge majority in order to feel confidence changing roles. And I would ask any of you who have ever tried to do it to recognize what the challenge is in seriously changing roles with a community you have been embedded in. Whether that's in your workplace or in family responsibilities, it's a big deal. And we don't want to do anything to minimize it or make it seem small or make assumptions about any of it. And so if that happens, I would imagine you would have a congregational meeting sometime in November or early December, and you would make the negotiating team would make decisions about when she would take up her new responsibilities.
Can I just ask a quick question? When we hired Mark some 23 years ago, I just remember I didn't hear anything at all about other candidates.
No, nor will you.
That's the search committee's choice.
Nor will you hear about other candidates here either.
Okay.
So when we're talking about this happening in September, there are no other candidates. The search committee must decide, if Gretchen is willing to be considered, eager to be considered, the search committee must decide yes or no on Gretchen before you see any other candidates. She is not put into competition with other candidates whom have never served you, that you don't know. It's considered an inside candidate search. And so if there's any ambiguity about whether or not that's the best thing to do, the search committee may actually say we're not going to consider an inside candidate. That would be their privilege. That's their discernment and their responsibility. Or they can say we will consider an inside candidate, and Gretchen can say, I don't think it's the best thing for me in my career, and I'm not going to ask to be considered. That's her privilege and responsibility. Or they might both say, yes, let's work on it. Let's see what we think. Let's explore it, which doesn't guarantee any outcome except that they would consider it. And either one of them could say no, even while they're considering.
I have just one more follow-up. So it seems to me, 23 years ago, we got a chance to hear Mark preach. And after he gave this tremendous sermon that everybody loved, we voted. And all but two people who were present that day from the congregation said, oh, yeah, hire him. It was overwhelming.
Yes.
Is that what's going to happen again?
Yes.
Is one sermon popular?
Well, I think there will be two. I think there will be two sermons. So if we're ready to move on, we can unpack. You can internal. There are many people now who understand the process, and you can unpack this understanding of an internal candidate. So if there is no internal candidate, all of the materials that have been developed by the search committee are posted on the UUA's search website.
John, can we get the next slide?
And this should happen in early November. And in November and December, ministers are looking through all those materials and who wish to be in search and deciding who the lingo is. There's lots of lingo in a search process, who they want to indicate their interest by clicking on. So when somebody asks you, well, how many clicks did Foothills get? That means how many ministers indicated their interest in interviewing, in exploring. Because they don't know you all the way either. That's the search committee's communication process. They're indicating their interest, not their commitment to come. So some will change their minds. Your search committee will say, we're not seeing the fit here. And they won't proceed in the process. Typically, a search committee will, I imagine that Foothills will receive a high number of clicks. Boulder just received 21 clicks in their search. So that's kind of overwhelming. 21 interested, faithful UU ministers in good standing. And so the search committee will have some criteria by which maybe they can take that number down quickly. And then they will begin video interviews, and they will take it down a little further. This is all very thoughtful, sometimes a little bit heartbreaking. How many can we reasonably keep going with? And then they will do weekend interviews. Those are called pre-candidating weekends. Anyone who's interested in you is called a pre-candidate because the final one is a candidate. Yes, it's lingo.
And Nancy, just to get back to Joanne's question, the congregation won't meet the pre-candidates.
Right.
Okay, because it is a matter of some confidentiality which ministers have applied and not been selected eventually. So that's something that's conducted with the search team. They'll see them preach at other neutral pulpits that the congregation won't be informed about. And then once they've made their selection, the ministers will come here for the what do we call that? The
candidating
week. Yeah.
Right. And so that's the sermon you're remembering from when Mark was called. So typically a search committee will need to take all those interested applicants down to three or four. Five is the most I've ever known a congregation to try and keep going through the entire process. They'll have a pre-candidating weekend, which is a weekend-long kind of immersion interview where they spend most of the weekend with this candidate. And this is when the interested ministers see your church building, visit Fort Collins, come to understand your entire environment in a kind of embodied way, not in a video interview, but actually be here. And then on Sunday, the search committee only will listen to this minister present the service at what's called a neutral pulpit, somewhere else. And they will probably do that at least three times and maybe as many as five times. That will be theirs to discern. When they bring to you their final candidate, they will be saying to you, of all the ministers we looked at, this is the best match for us. They will not necessarily be saying, this is the highest flying minister we saw. They will be saying, this is the best match for us. And they'll be able to tell you why. They'll have lots of words to go along with that. And the reason we do it that way is that any other way ends up with divided congregations. If you put two ministers in front of a congregation, I would then have two congregations in northern Colorado, Fort Collins and Windsor, or something. You know, it's one. So the search committee carries this heavy responsibility, and it has 30 years of having worked very well almost all the time. When you have a candidate, they will come and preach the first Sunday. You will meet them, greet them, socialize. They'll go to board meetings. They'll try to meet as many people as they possibly can. The person will preach again the second Sunday of candidating week and then leave a little bit quickly because there's an immediate congregational meeting with a secret ballot yes-no vote. It says, shall we call the Reverend da-da-da-da-da-da to be our next senior minister? Yes, no. Click one.
John, can you get the next slide up? Terry, let me get you a mic, and I've got a question over here too.
The one thing you haven't mentioned is what actually allows you to be on the pre-candidate list. So, what is the criteria that is required for you to be even considered? Right. You've given us the process, but you haven't given us the kind of, you know, what is the bar that must be reached?
Good question. In the Unitarian Universalist Association, we have an open search process. So any minister who has been given a credentials fellowship, so is in preliminary or final fellowship, is cleared to search on our search website. The UUA will not be screening your ministers, the ministers who are applying, your pre-candidates. So you will have the whole range. You will have somebody searching for their first church. And you will have those who have had experience in mid-size and large and would like you as their second large. It will be all over the place. But all of them will be in fellowship and good standing with the Unitarian Universalist Association. We do that screen. And
first, just a clarification. Say the search committee chose four pre-candidates. Then they have this weekend with each one of them?
Yes.
Okay, yes, all right. And then my other question, and maybe you'll get to that later, so just tell me if you will. I know that we're a large church, and I would like to understand the difference in the minister's role between a mid-sized church and a large church.
Okay, let's finish the process and then help me come back to that if it has general interest. I mean, a large part of that is the interim ministry to make transparent to all of you the transition from mid-sized to large, which you made during Mark's tenure. And so some of that is work that I know David is doing and the board, but I'll have a few comments. So we've gotten to candidating week. Preached both Sundays, lots of activities during the week, and the vote. If the vote is positive, which it overwhelmingly is in our congregations, because search committees do very good work, and congregations have participated and informed them, and have trusted them and supported them, and so the vast majority of the time, this goes very, very well, and your congregation might have a vote like you describe, with only two who are ambivalent or not enthusiastic, but it is possible for a congregation to say no. We don't get there very often because usually it's possible to discern that this isn't working in the week during the week. And if at all possible, we would not want to take a congregation to the point of voting no. We would want to counsel the candidate to withdraw, and the search committee would be part of that. However, it happened. It has happened. Not often, but it does. And if it does, that search committee has done their work for you, and they are appreciated for all their work and released. And we quickly get into the interim ministry process, and we begin again in love. And yes, I will be living up here by then. If it goes that way, I'll be getting an apartment. Okay, I think we've zoomed through the process, right? Okay.
Questions. Okay, so we're going to take some questions. I know there are some folks over here who've had their hands up before, so let's start here.
I apologize for not being here at the beginning. I had another part of the congregation that was calling on me to be there. And if I missed this, I'm sorry, but how large is the optimal search committee?
Seven members. Mm-hmm. Back, it might have been true when your search committee worked to call Mark that they had alternates. We don't have alternates anymore. We found that we were holding people's lives in abeyance for a whole year, and they might never serve, and we couldn't get them up to speed if we needed them. So we just do seven, and if something happens and one needs to resign, six carry on.
Okay, I just want to make a comment. I'm Norma Fox, the treasurer, and I just want to reinforce this because I think you can't hear it enough. The important part for the congregation here to be a part of this is to participate in the appreciative inquiry, and when someone calls you to ask who you want to be on the search committee, take that call and be ready, you know, to answer it, because that's your participation, and that's how we'll get a good search committee. Thanks.
That's your initial participation, and then there will be other things. There will be a congregational survey. I urge you to think about the congregation when you are answering this by yourself. It's your survey, but think about the good of the whole as well as what you want and need. And then there will probably be conversations, additional conversations, facilitated by the search committee. So lots of ways. I want to say one more thing just because I might forget it. Then I'll be right there. Rich will be right there. The level of confidentiality in the search committee is really important for us to have a broad understanding of and to be able to speak to one another confidently about this. So your search committee, all of those people will be deeply known to you. And they will communicate every single thing they can. I coach them to communicate monthly at least. And just update you on the process, or say the survey will be coming out. None of this is a secret. Certainly not the process. You're hearing it all right now. However, we get to a point where the confidentiality of the particular pre-candidates and the confidentiality of those neutral pulpit weekend interviews, I must ask you to respect. You know, you've got to trust your committee that they will do all of that. Now, they'll tell you how many clicks they got. They'll tell you how many people they're pursuing through those interviews. Those things are not secrets. They will not name names. I doubt that they'll give you too much profile. You know, they're going to ask you to say, here, we've gotten to the heart of what you ask us to do, and now we have to ask you to trust us to carry it forward.
We have to make sure that those people are members. So you don't have to worry about who's a member and who's a friend. You put forward a name that you think is someone who you trust. We will have to make sure that those seven people are members. Okay?
Right. The vote on approving the slate of candidates for the search committee is open only to members. If you are a friend but not yet a member, now is a great time to sign the membership book so that you can be a part of this process. We'd love to have more of you involved. Here, I'm giving you back this one. Okay, we've got some other, I think Lana had her hand up over here.
So my question is those people who are they going to run for the search committee, or are we just going to randomly say, oh, I think so-and-so, my friend that I know, should be on the search committee? I'm a little concerned about that because I feel like, in talking to some other congregants, that there are some of us that will be underrepresented in that situation because I'm not sure that I'm qualified.
There's a clear process. Let's let Rich explain it to you. There is a process.
So I want to go over the process once more because we've grown a lot since we began, and that was where that happened. The first step will be this appreciative inquiry process where we discover who the congregation is in its full diversity, what its hopes are for the future, what is working really well. And then the board, the transition team, the nominating committee will survey the entire congregation, all the members of the congregation, about who they think... Yeah, well, we're going to call your houses. Right. And yeah, we will call you. And we will say, you know, these are the kinds of qualities we're looking for in members of the search team. Who do you think embodies those qualities? And everybody in the church, everybody in the membership book will have a chance to answer those questions. We will collect that data and hand it to the nominating committee, who is charged in the bylaws with doing the final work of forming the slate of candidates for this. And then they will assemble from that list, not necessarily the top seven people who were mentioned, but the seven people that they think best represents the diversity of the church, the aspirations of the church and so on. And that's the process that.
But obviously, those people would have to be interested in
denying. Yes.
I know.
No, absolutely. The nominating committee, we have to assume good intent and know that they aren't just going to pick friends. We also know that people will get the chance to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't make that commitment. And so we might go through 12 people who were very frequently mentioned and represent the diversity of the congregation and come up with 7 in that process. Or it might be that the first 7 people we call are all available. We'll not know. The nominating committee will figure that out for us. And it's a ton of work that we're asking them to do. And the board and the transition team are going to help with the initial gathering of information. Once it's gathered, it's their job. And we'll have to just trust that they'll do it well. Yeah.
Okay. Everybody will have to say yes, they want to. The only thing I would add to this conversation, which was primarily focusing around a diversity of representation, is that I also count on the nominating committee to present to you a group of people they are confident will be able to build a team, work well together, not be living out any of their diversity conflicts inside the search committee. Because the search committee is not a constituent-based committee. We are not trying to get people to advocate for a certain thing. We are looking for people who are capable of seeing the broad goodness and the general goodwill and common good of the congregation. And, of course, we don't want a single mindset, but their capacity to work together is critically important.
I want to say that we're running out of time at this point. We need to conduct another service in about 5 minutes. So let's get any other burning questions here? Okay.
If Gretchen is selected, does that same search committee conduct then the search for the next associate to her?
No.
So if Gretchen is selected and we then will have to go through a process of assembling another search committee for an associate minister. It is possible that the church might decide it doesn't need an associate minister, but that will be up to the board at that time, and they will probably start with an assistant minister position and then move on from there. And folks, I want to final words here. I'm sure that there are other questions that did not get asked and answered during this time, and I'd invite you to send them in to your friendly neighborhood board member, transition team member, myself. Make sure that you get your answers, because we want to. If you have that question, we probably have other people who have it too, and we want to make sure that we answer it publicly. Look for more on this in the extra and on the leadership blog. Okay? Thanks for being so interested in taking the time. Thank you, Nancy.